Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my husband, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. So I was running this morning and thinking about my favorite spring breaks in life. Now, in the United States, most schools have a spring break, and it falls in between the beginning of March and the middle of April. The southern hemisphere of the United States is filled with those of us who live in the northern part, and some people head west to ski, and others take the time to just sit and relax and decompress from the crazy pace of 21st century life. So I was thinking to myself, of all my spring breaks in life, and I was trying to figure out which one was my favorite. It struck me that many of my characteristics as a young college student still exist today when I was thinking of all of my breaks. Granted, I'm a little tamer, but my favorite spring break as a student was in 1992 when I was a junior in college studying and working on my history degree with a great minor of political science and physical geography. It was in 1992 that my then girlfriend and a few other friends went to Clearwater Beach, Florida. Here is a sampling of some of the great music that we were partying to on the beaches and in some of the establishments in Clearwater.
We spotted the ocean at the head of the trail. Where are we going? So far away.
You gotta admit it, that if you were around in the early 1990s, that's a pretty sweet music. Anyway, the trip wasn't my favorite for the volleyball I played, the lobster-like color my skin turned because I had never been in the tropical sun before, the fact that seagulls are crafty dive bombers when you have a French fry in your hand on the beach, or the fact that I had never been in saltwater before. It was my favorite because of all that I learned. That's what I want to focus on this week in the podcast. How do we take time in our lives to decompress and still learn and lead? As a reminder, a leader is anyone who has influence over another person, and a buffalo leader is someone who charges into the storm in order to optimistically take on the challenges they face. Well, ironically, my first ever opportunity to be buffalo happened in a storm in 1992. We had been out all day, and like typical college kids, we were focused on ourselves, trying to have fun, and finding the least expensive cheeseburger in Florida. So when we were sitting in a restaurant and looked around and only saw a handful of people, I asked the waitress, "Where is everyone?" Now, it was the third time we'd eaten there that week, and she looked at us like we were kind of nuts. She said, "Everyone went home." I was like, "What? It's only 8 o'clock, and the fun hasn't even begun." And that's when she said the following, "Well, there is a tropical storm brewing, and it's supposed to make landfall at 9 o'clock tonight," which was in an hour. We were staying in a condo on the beach on the 7th or 8th floor, and we faced the Gulf. Now, being from Wisconsin in the northern part of the United States, I had never experienced a tropical storm and never worried about it before. Well, none of us had, so we just kept eating, playing darts, and enjoying our beverages. It wasn't until a firefighter walked in and asked why was this place still open, and the service staff pointed to us. The firefighter asked me to come outside with him, and that is when I learned what a tropical storm was. The giant palm trees in front of the restaurant were bending sideways from the wind. The rain was not falling, but blasting horizontally, and the streets, they were flooded. This happened in the 1 hour we were in that restaurant. We politely said goodbye and walked a few blocks in the salty rain back to that condo. The next morning, as we were watching boats get tossed around the harbor, roofs rip off the beach huts' restaurants, and listening to the windows bow and whine, we were nervous. There were no phone lines, and the electricity, well, that was out. It was awesome. Now, I'm not sure everyone felt like I did, but I thought, this is a Florida version of a blizzard, and I get to be in it. So my Buffalo experience came when I volunteered to walk to the grocery store 3 blocks away. I found a raincoat and headed south with headwinds that I would later read had gusted between 80 and 100 miles per hour. I could lean so far into the wind that my hand could touch the ground while I was standing and walking. Halfway there, I realized that I might get killed out here, and that put a little more giddy up in my step. I got to the grocery store, grabbed everything on our list, and then it hit me after I paid. How am I going to get this stuff back without blowing it all over Florida? Well, here's how this story ends. I buffaloed. As I was standing there looking out the door, I saw shopping carts blowing all over the parking lot as if ghosts were driving them. So I put our groceries in a cart, put the cart in the middle of the rainy road, stood on the back of the cart, and let the storm do all the work. I drove that cart very quickly 3 blocks and sailed all the way down the road laughing like a lunatic and waving at the people staring at me as I passed them being blown by the wind and moving at what felt like 20 miles per hour. I headed into the storm, and then I rode it home. Served others, and learned. I learned a lot. So what will you do the next time you have some time off? Now, I told this story to illustrate a point. Even when you are on a break, you must still fuel your leadership. I guess almost 30 years ago, I solidified my values, and when Megan and I had kids, we cemented them. Remember, we ask our kids 3 questions each night when we get to eat together at our dinner table. What did you learn today? How did you help someone? And what's the most funny thing that happened? So when you have your break, what are you going to do? What will you do to grow and learn? How will you help others? And what will you do to ensure you have moments of joy to fuel your leadership in life? Well, let me offer a few things that you could do in each category. Adventures. The first thing I would recommend is to grow your learning by going on an adventure, whether you are traveling or not. Taking a quick adventure is a great way to grow and serve others. For instance, take a simple local adventure. When was the last time you went into your own town and visited all the shops in the same neighborhood? When was the last time you went to a preserve or a forest and simply walked around and actually stopped and read all of the signs instead of rushing through the hike? The key to growing and learning is not to rush. We are often so focused on so many things that we forget to stop and look around. Those types of simple things can lead to bigger things. In addition, if you're the type of person who likes to sit down and read so that you can grow in knowledge that way, well, I've got 3 books that I just finished that I think you'd enjoy. Now, if you're an educator and looking for strategies to help you support the 21st century child that struggles with behaviors, Howard Glasser and Jennifer Easley's have a great book entitled Transforming the Difficult Child. Now, I know, if you're an educator and you're a teacher and you're on spring break, do I really want to read about this while I'm on spring break? Well, if you want to come back energized, you'll immediately change how you teach or parent when you read this book. The second book was recommended to me by my friend Corey, and I read it in an afternoon. As a matter of fact, I read it this afternoon. It's by Kristen Hadid, and it's called Permission to Screw Up. She is the founder of the company Student Made, M-A-I-D, and she is incredibly honest, vulnerable, and funny in her book. It'll get you thinking about your ability to take risks and fail forward and how to support and motivate the millennials. The last text is Jared Horvath's, and it's a fantastic read about how we are and how we can be influential. It is titled Stop Talking, Start Influencing. Jared will be on the podcast later this spring, and his text is a great read for anyone who works with others, presents, or is simply curious about how to influence other people. So let's talk about service on your break. Now, I'm not sure that my grocery store example before was really good service, but in my life, I have found that serving others is the single most rewarding act that I can do in my days. But a lot of people talk about service like you have to go build something, or you have to serve someone food, or you have to put packages together, or collect things, or clean something. Well, what about acts of intentional kindness as service to others? What about bringing happiness to others? Service is putting others before self, and I have 2 of my favorite activities to share with you. About 6 years ago, I was talking to my friend Sue, who runs a volunteer center, and I said that our family was looking to do some service work in spring. She smiled and handed me a list of 100 things that people can do to volunteer and serve others. On the list was bring joy to others through random acts of kindness. I was like, what is that? That's really cool. So we thought about it, and then we went and bought 100 carnations. And our family made a slip of paper that we wrapped around each stem with the words that said, be awesome today. We walked through our hometown's downtown and handed everyone we saw a flower. People didn't know what to do. People said, no, thank you, because they thought it was something religious or we were trying to raise money. But when we explained to them what we were doing, well, they smiled. People tried to pay us, and others were just made happy. We emptied our bucket in about 20 minutes, and all the flowers went out to the people. And then we went and had lunch in a restaurant, and we sat in the window, and we literally watched all of these people smiling and telling the stories to each other about their flower. The powerful lesson for our family and my children was that we just served up smiles in our service to others, and we had fun. Now, more recently, our entire family on my wife's side traveled together on a trip to celebrate my mother and father-in-law's 50th wedding anniversary. We stayed in a vacation area with a lot of other people who were doing the same thing. I had my two children, my two nieces, and my nephew with us, and I declared that we were going to bring back the high five, and we're going to put it back into style, and that we would have a competition to see who could high five the most people. Well, after a couple of days, with us racing around trying to get to people and high-fiving them first, people in the area began to refer to us as the High Five Family. But more importantly, we were bringing joy to people. You see, most people don't look at each other when they're out for a walk, and we just go about our own way. But when you see a group or a family of people laughing and then come running at you with their hands held high, screaming, "High five me, high five me," well, you laugh too. And the kids learn that random acts of kindness can be spread by simply acknowledging others with a smile, a high five, and a little eye contact. So the last thing for you to reflect upon this week is, how will you find joy in your break? Well, that's up to you. So often when we vacation or have time off, all we want to do is relax and sit. I get it, but I'm not wired that way. Joy comes to me by me seeing others smile, by me organizing things to do. And as my father-in-law recently left me in a voicemail, "Ted, you are a bird that can't be caged." I find my joy in bringing energy to those around me. I've given you a bunch of examples of ways that we've brought joy to others. Here is the key to making it the best break ever. Don't make it about yourself. Make it about others. Be a leader and have fun by leading and promoting learning and service. Vacations need to have a moment of lift. And as Daniel Pink said in his most recent book, When, all experiences need to end on a high note. So instead of dreading the last day of break, make that the best day by learning and serving. High five some people, hand out flowers, tour your town, read a book, make a great meal, play a board game, do something. Breaks need to re-energize, revitalize, and be relaxing. However, leaders need to lead. Focus on others and find ways to make life engaging and empowering for those in your sphere of influence. That can most easily be done by taking on the headwinds and then learning to sail them to success. So let's do some smart thinking. On your break, what type of adventure can you go on so that you can learn and grow? List what you'll read and how that will make you better for others. Describe ways in which you can serve other people. And last, how will you bring joy into your life and the lives of those you're with on this break? That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please rate this episode and share it. Thank you to the Well Pennies for the great music, and please support that band by purchasing their music and their recordings. Lastly, I have a request. Can you go onto the Smart Thinking Facebook page and post you learning, serving, or having fun? I'd love to see those of you who listen to the podcast applying this. I appreciate you for listening to this and hope that you can find a minute to share with me how you apply these ideas and skills. Serving you on this podcast has become a big part of my personal mission, and I'm amazed by where it has gone. 34,000 downloads in every state in the United States and 31 countries around the world. Who are you? What are you doing, and how are you leading? Share it with us, and let's grow a community of smart thinkers that we can all learn from and grow our leadership together so that we can be Buffalo for others, lead through our influence, and shift the direction of as many people as we can.
Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? There's a song arising, just you wait and see. Won't you take my